Welcome to the fifth episode of FemWonk. We just had our 1 month anniversary, so thank you so much for tuning in and being with us for this last month. We're really excited to see what the future holds and how FemWonk evolves. More on that at the end of the episode. So today's guest is none other than yours truly. We're going to be talking broadly about post-secondary education and more specifically about funding. This is something that I care deeply about, and I'm really excited to share some of my insights with you today on some recent decisions that have been made. So folks who've been following the conversation in the file would have seen that the Ford government in Ontario made some widely sweeping changes to a variety of areas of post-secondary about 2 weeks ago now. So I'm going to talk to you about that in three portions, but I am also going to talk to you about how that relates to post-secondary here in New Brunswick. We actually have a very similar, particularly student financial aid system as Ontario. So I want to talk about what the Ontario changes look like, what they mean, but also what impacts they could have here in New Brunswick. So I'll just start with a few pieces of information. So as mentioned, the student financial aid system in Ontario and in New Brunswick are very similar right now. About 3 or 4 years ago now, Ontario announced that it would be creating a free tuition program. And it would be doing that by essentially repurposing tax credits into upfront need-based grants for students entering into post-secondary. Around the same time, New Brunswick also announced a similar free tuition program. And as a bit of a point of pride, Ontario announced and they would be implementing the next academic year. However, New Brunswick announced for the coming academic year. So although Ontario announced the program first, New Brunswick actually implemented the program first. The free tuition program in both New Brunswick and Ontario created the conditions for lower income students to receive their entirety of tuition paid for in non-repayable grants from the government. And we'll get into that a little bit more later on. The three major areas of change that the Ford government announced last week were tuition fees, changes to the Ontario Student Assistance Program, and changes to auxiliary fees, which are those extra fees that come on your tuition bill every year. So I'm going to go into these three areas, and I'm also going to link them up a bit to what they could mean in the New Brunswick context. So the first thing is tuition fees. So the Ford government basically announced that institutions would be mandated to reduce tuition fees by 10% in the next academic year. At face value, sure, that sounds great, but what does that actually mean? From the perspective of institutions, that's actually about $450 million of money that is being taken out of the system, and the Ford government has no intention on subsidizing that loss. So $450 million out of the system, that probably means universities are going to be looking at how to balance their budget, and they're not going to have as much money to do it. So the things that may suffer are those extra services that make student life a bit more bearable. Taking $450 million out of the system could have big impacts on institutions. There are a few ways that they will deal with this change. One, they will, trim any fat they see available to trim, which oftentimes, unfortunately, is not the academic programming, but rather the student services. But they also will likely look to international students and an increase in enrollment in international students, because as it stands right now, there's really no regulation on international student tuition, so institutions can charge really a huge amount of money for these international students. And they essentially, unfortunately, the case is becoming that institutions are balancing their books on the backs of international students. Nothing would suggest that that would change here with the reduction in tuition fees. The other piece to consider is, folks who are receiving student financial aid, particularly those in a low income bracket, were already receiving their full tuition in grants. So a 10% reduction does nothing for accessibility for those students. They already were getting free tuition. Where it does have a bit of an impact is the higher income households that actually aren't eligible for student financial aid. So we see these to be around the $170,000-ish income households. Those students will see the 10% reduction. However, these are not students that are having a difficult time accessing post-secondary. So who's better off in this case? Well, it's not institutions, it's not lower income, middle income students. It is really the higher income students. The other piece that I think is interesting here, and we'll circle this into the Ontario Student Aid program, but by reducing tuition by 10%, all the while we know that the student aid program is seeing an increase in uptake after the addition of the free tuition program, really the Ford government is essentially reducing the amount that they have to pay in student financial aid. So it's a bit of, you know, taking this money right out of the institution as a mechanism for the government to save money at the student financial aid level. So again, who's better off here? It's really only high income students, maybe. And how does this relate to the New Brunswick context? Well, in New Brunswick, there has been a cap on both raising tuition and on operational grants to universities for the last number of years. There's been a bit of relief in the context of the universities. Recently, when the last government signed memorandums of understanding, which outlined a schedule for increase in operating grants. However, I can tell you, based again on my both experience in student advocacy and my experience working with institutions in the Premier's office, a 10% reduction in tuition fees would be seen as completely detrimental to some of our institutions here in New Brunswick, particularly the smaller institutions. And again, who does it really benefit? With the free tuition program in New Brunswick, all that reduction in tuition would be doing is helping the government balance its books by taking money out of student financial aid. I don't think this is, again, this is not a good piece of public policy. And I do think that a tuition reduction like this would have an impact on institutions and the quality of education that students are receiving. I'd also note that there is really no advocacy group advocating for this. There, you know, on the one end of the spectrum is, you know, abolish tuition completely, which again, all that really does is help high income students. It does not help those students in the lower income threshold that are already receiving free tuition. And then on the other side is really, you know, just have a predictable tuition increase model. That's where you see a lot of student organizations advocating on behalf of is just let us know how much our tuition is going to be. So you don't have these, you know, spikes and hikes, but rather a predictable model so that students and institutions, for that matter, can plan what their costs are going to be over a four-year degree. Okay, so into the Ontario Student Assistance Program, or a shorthand OSAP. So as I mentioned, the free tuition program in Ontario has now been running for, this would be its second academic year, so it's in year two. And this program was created largely by eliminating tax credits and repurposing that money into upfront non-repayable grants for low-income students, which created the free tuition program. This, again, very similar to the mechanism to which New Brunswick implemented the program. What we see with the tax credit model was basically that was giving any graduate, any and all graduates, a few thousand dollars around tax time. And what we also know is this money was actually going about four times more to the highest income quartile than to the lowest income quartile. So this tax credit money basically was going, again, to folks who are earning enough money upon graduation to benefit from a tax credit and to folks who really didn't need the income. So again, repurposing those tax credits into grants for low-income students. So the cuts to OSAP took about $1 billion out of the system, which is essentially cutting the program in half. And these cuts are nearly double what the savings from the tuition will be. So most students are worse off, there's no question. Basically, they've changed a portion of the grants back into loans, so low-income students no longer will be receiving their full tuition paid for. So the free tuition program here in Ontario is essentially dead. So they've also increased the parental contribution amount. So the parental contribution amount, basically, when a student applies for student financial aid, the application will take into consideration how much the parents and the household income is, and then from that, how much can they be basically asked to pay. So that amount has increased, which then means that the amount of loan or grant that a student is eligible for decreases. They've also extended the time that parents are expected to contribute from 4 years to 6 years, which this is particularly bizarre because this is not the case any of the other provinces in the country, nor at the federal level. The four-year period makes sense because if a student goes from high school right into university, they're probably going to be in a four-year degree. Parents contribute for that undergrad, and that's kind of it. So the six-year threshold is, again, very weird. Nowhere else in the country is doing this. So really, again, odd thing to do. All it really means is the Ontario government is saving some money there while students are receiving fewer dollars in grants and loans because their parents are asked to contribute more money and for longer. Another thing that raised some eyebrows was the interest on the grace period being reintroduced in Ontario. The federal portion of your loans and grants start accruing interest as soon as you graduate. However, you're not asked to start paying back until 6 months after you graduate. However, in Ontario, they removed that interest period. So interest was not accruing during that 6 month grace period. And now they've essentially reintroduced it. So they are back into step with what the federal government is doing. But this will really only save the government about $4 million. So it was a bit of an odd announcement that that actually got a lot of pickup and has virtually very little return on investment for the government. So both not great public policy and not great politics. Okay, so in summary, took $1 billion out of the system, converted grants back to loans in many cases, which meant the elimination of the free tuition program and also an increase in debt for low-income students upon graduation, have gone back to including the interest on the grace period, and have increased parental contribution and extended the time of parental contribution from 4 to 6 years. So these changes really just save the Ontario government money. So how does this relate to New Brunswick? Well, like I said, the New Brunswick system, the New Brunswick student aid system is very similar to the Ontario student aid system. So like Ontario, we too introduced the free tuition program. This is the third academic year to which this program is running. It is targeted to lower income students. However, there is a sliding scale. So middle income students are also experiencing more grants and loans, all contributing to hopefully a reduction in student debt and also the ability for more students to access post-secondary education. So I'll just go into some numbers on the New Brunswick context just to, again, paint the picture of why this program is working. So in 2015, there were 12,720 students who received student financial aid from the New Brunswick government. So that would have been the year before the introduction of the free tuition program. So as I mentioned, the free tuition program has been running now in its third academic year. So in the 2017-2018 financial year, there were 15,209 students accessing student financial aid. So that's an increase of about 20% or 2,500 students. We also see that the amount going to students is $191.4 million, which is an increase, again, over the same time period of about 25% or $37.6 million. So those are just quick numbers that show since the introduction of the free tuition program in New Brunswick, we've seen about 20% more students accessing student financial aid and about 25% more money going to students. So these are concrete numbers that I guess anecdotally, but not really, show that this program is working at breaking down barriers to access post-secondary. So that, I think, is something hugely important to consider here. The reality is the creation of the free tuition program in both Ontario and New Brunswick didn't necessarily mean a ton of dollars needed to be added in to the low-income loan system, because between provincial and federal grants, they were already receiving nearly free tuition. But what this type of program does is create a clear message, which is hugely important. This message says that if you come from a low to middle income household, you can go to university tuition free. The message is hugely important. Free tuition for those coming from lower middle income families if they choose to go to post-secondary. This is so important. I cannot stress how important the message is. It breaks down so many barriers, including psychological ones, that students who coming again from lower income households, perhaps students who will be the first in their family to go to university, or again, students who never thought they had the opportunity only because they did not see a path forward for the financial investment. What we know is that students, again, who are first in their family to go to university, probably have a significantly reduced understanding of everything around the university experience. So that includes the financial piece, which makes sense. I mean, if you've never experienced something and the folks closest to you have also never experienced it, it's going to be really difficult to make informed decisions on what the actual reality is going to be. So yes, even though you could get perhaps full loans to go to university or college, you still might be completely risk averse to debt. And that narrative is just not something that's going to seep through. But the narrative of free tuition if you choose to go to post-secondary is something that empowers folks who otherwise might not have had the opportunity or not thought they had the opportunity or not been considering. So what would these types of changes mean to New Brunswick? What would the elimination of the free tuition program mean for New Brunswick? Well, like I said, there are about 20% more students accessing the system. That means that there are going to be a ton of students that if this program disappears, will automatically think to themselves that they don't see a path forward for finishing their post-secondary. It also means that the students who have been planning or thinking or hearing about this for the first time, the free tuition program for the first time, are now going to immediately turn off their brain and say, nope, it doesn't exist anymore. I can't afford to go to post-secondary. Whether that is a valid or not assessment, it is a psychological one and it is a huge barrier. Any of the changes that the Ford government made, if they were implemented in New Brunswick, again, all they do is balance the books of the New Brunswick government on the back of students. And I don't think that that has any sort of longevity for the New Brunswick economy. Okay, the final change. I've been going on for a while now. As I mentioned, this is a topic I care deeply about. The final change is an opt-out system of auxiliary fees. So auxiliary fees are all of those extra things that are on your tuition bill when you go to pay. So whether that's, you know, a technology fee, a student union fee, facilities improvement fee, you know, there are a number of different ones ranging from a few dollars to a few hundred dollars. So the Ford government announced that they would essentially be making these auxiliary fees optional. So the immediate reaction to that was student union fees are auxiliary fees. Therefore, you can deduct that student union fees will become optional. If this becomes the case, student unions in Ontario will be completely kneecapped and their service delivery and advocacy work will diminish drastically. I think one of the challenges that student unions face, and again, as a past student union president, a past member of New Brunswick Student Alliance and CASA, student unions have a difficult time communicating their value effectively to students on a day-to-day. We see this by, you know, low voter turnout for student union elections. And I saw it every day as president, and people would just be like, so what do you do? So much of what the student unions do are felt on campus every single day, but not necessarily attributed to student unions every single day. Some of the really big ones are programs like health and dental plans, discounted transit passes, programs like Safe Walk or Safe Ride. These are things that are really, you know, just natural to the student experience, but that students don't necessarily attribute to student unions. There are also some other really big pieces. So student unions provide the chief advocacy role, whether it's internally at institutions or to governments, to advocate for things like free tuition programs. There is no doubt that in both Ontario and New Brunswick, had student unions and student organizations not been advocating for the free tuition program or repurposing of tax credits into upfront need-based grants, it likely would not have come to fruition. And student union folks are typically the people who are, again, working directly with university presidents and university administrations, working with student services on campus to improve their overall delivery for students, whether that's health centers or counseling services. And they also provide typically a high amount of student employment opportunities. And this is really just scratching the surface. Student unions provide all of the gaps on university campuses, whether it's creating an amazing and welcoming environment during orientation week, whether, again, it's maintaining important student services, whether it's getting group rates on health and dental plans, on transit plans, or whether it's creating things like student food banks. The unfortunate reality is these things are incredibly necessary on so many campuses still, and the bulk of this work is done by student unions. In the New Brunswick context, all of this work is being done for very little gratification. So in the New Brunswick context, what would this mean? Well, again, at the University of New Brunswick, where I was student union president, we provided so many services and employment opportunities for students ranging from, again, a great orientation week, all the way to Safe Ride, all the way to being their representatives on executive administration hiring committees, creating bursaries for students. And more recently, actually, the student union was the reason for the introduction of the Fall Reading Week. It was their advocacy efforts to the institution that provided that opportunity for students. So I cannot stress how much this change could really impact student life across campuses in Ontario, and again, how detrimental this type of change would be in the New Brunswick context. Okay, so we chatted about the tuition fees, we've chatted about the changes to the student financial aid program, and we've chatted about the changes to auxiliary fees. There's no doubt that this package of changes will impact student life and students on campus. And I think we need to remember that the best guiding principles for post-secondary education across the country are creating a system that is accessible, affordable, and high quality. I think that these changes will unfortunately impact all of those areas. Again, the system in Ontario, in particular the student financial aid system, is very similar to the New Brunswick context. So I thought it was really important to highlight what these changes would look like in a New Brunswick context. These changes would be detrimental to New Brunswick student. Okay. I also just want to circle back to something I mentioned right at the top of the episode. FemLock has now been launched for exactly a month. It's been such a great journey. I've learned so much, and I've had really such a good time doing this. It has provided a venue for me to really hone in my voice again, something that unfortunately I let get away from me over the last couple of years. But now I would really like to hear back from you. So I would love to know what you've been loving about FemWalk, what we could improve, topics you'd be interested in discussing or hearing about, guests you'd be interested in discussing or hearing about, and also feedback on what other mediums you might be interested in consuming content, whether that's the addition of a blog, more social media content. I'd really just love to hear back from you. And I've actually created a quick little survey with just 5 questions that I will attach to this episode, and I'll also share on social media. So I would love if you would take just a few minutes to let me know what you've been thinking so that I can really work to improve this podcast and improve FemWonk. So if you're looking to engage with the conversation or get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram now, all at FemWonk. You can email me directly, katie@femwonk.com, or you can check us out on our website, femwonk.com. Finally, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you view your podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 5.